In this week's Legal Issues in the News, Jay Kaysen from the University of Illinois College of Law gives his thoughts on the aftermath of the attacks in Paris and Beirut.
The Western world was shaken on November 13th when attacks rocked a youthful section of Paris on a Friday night as thousands of people ate dinner, attended concerts, and spent time with friends. The attacks have also drawn attention to a similar devastating attack in Beirut 2 days earlier. These attacks happened in a world with disappearing borders, where people in nearly every country mourned simultaneously within hours of a tragedy. Facebook's safety check feature was activated on Friday so that Facebook users in the Paris area could check in to let family and friends know they were safe. Twitter erupted with updates about Paris. Survivors have posted their emotional stories to social media. Hoaxes and misinformation abound in the first several hours after the attacks in Paris as everyone tried to make sense of things. The Paris attacks also brought attention to the attacks in Beirut, and social media users have posted praise of Adel Termes, a young father in Beirut who died when he tackled a suicide bomber who was preparing to enter a crowded mosque. When attacks are global and reactions are simultaneous, the responses of governments and those who enforce the laws are placed under a microscope. Certainty and prompt responses are demanded. International law, however, but while nations wring their hands about the available options to deal with a decentralized terrorist organization that thrives on causing isolated incidents of unpredictable chaos, a vigilante element is also emerging. The hacker collective Anonymous, a frequent target of the FBI and law enforcement around the world, has declared cyber war on ISIS. Staying connected to potential recruits around the world is at the foundation of ISIS's strategy, and the similarly unpredictable Anonymous could potentially throw a wrench in some of these plans. People around the world are demanding to know what law enforcement knew before the attacks in Paris. Did they have any clue this was going to happen? How did the attackers plan a coordinated attack without detection? Some will no doubt use this event to further arguments that governments should always have access to encrypted information, whether on personal electronic devices or websites. But the dark web is massive, filled with a tangled web of non-indexed sites that currently offer numerous digital dark alleys for dealing and plotting. Many, if not all, users of the illicit parts of the dark web use technologies that disguise their location. Surveillance of everything in every part of the internet could sweep in all internet traffic, both legitimate and illegitimate ones. The primary method proposed to defeat encryption for law enforcement purposes would involve asking software companies to always keep a key that would allow them to decrypt all of a customer's data. But creating this key would create a single point of failure and would make software companies an even more attractive target for malicious hackers than they already are. It would then irreparably damage cybersecurity for everyone. This approach would also be useless because as long as there is a demand for strong encryption, some developers somewhere will provide it. Ultimately, the biggest losers of such a chain would be the software companies with breakable encryption, who can no longer compete for customers who value privacy and are willing to pay for it. In the aftermath of tragedy, it's natural to want solutions. But in today's environment, where information moves faster and farther than it has at any other time in history, law and technology have yet to find some common ground. I'm Jay Kaysen.
Legal Issues in the News can be found on will.illinois.edu and be heard every Monday at WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD3. And don't forget to subscribe to the Legal Issues in the News podcast to get them delivered right to your smart device.